Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Father, I just thank you for the great privilege, to be able to stand before such an incredible group of people that Janet and I and Trey and Molly love so dearly. So thankful that Pops and Granny are here. So thankful for all of our guests to be here. And Father, I just pray for the next 30 minutes that you would anoint my mind and my mouth and help me to come alongside this beautiful congregation and add value into their life through your word. And God, for that, we give you thanks and praise. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Can be seated. I hear music playing in my monitors. If you'll take that out, I would appreciate it. Our mind is one of the greatest assets that God has given us. Our brain, they tell me, contains 100 million neurons. From what I read and gather, they tell us that our brain can record 800 memories a second for the next 75 years and never get tired. They tell me that our brain can store 100 trillion thoughts. It is phenomenal, brothers and sisters, what God has given us, and that is our mind. See, the thing that makes us different from animals is our mind, because animals can look at something and they can think about it for a minute, but because you and I have a brain, we can literally think about 1,000 years ago. We can study history from 1,000 years. An animal can't do that. We can think about the present, but we can also think about the life after this life. And the reason why you're able and I am able to communicate with God is because God has given us a brain. Animals can't do that. They go off of instinct, and the Lord can speak to an animal as he spoke to a great fish, and that fish vomited, the Bible says in the book of Jonah up on dry land. So they can hear what he is saying, but they cannot, in a sense, communicate the way you and I can communicate to God. And we're able to do that because we have a brain. I think that one of the greatest things that I can come alongside you on a Sunday morning and talk to you about is probably the plan of salvation. And that is simply we must repent of our sins, be born again of the water and of the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be baptized in His name. And we need to live a holy and a modest life. I think that's probably one of the greatest messages that I can preach. Outside of that, I think that I'm going to share with you what I think is probably the second. And that is this. We need to think about what we think about. Look at your neighbor and tell three people, we need to think about what we think about. I want you to look at Proverbs 4 and 23. Now, I'm going to be using some different translations of the Bible just because sometimes we get jaded looking at the same verse. And so where I elevate the King James Version above all versions, I'd like to share this version with you. Proverbs 4 and 23 in the New Century Version, it says this. Say this with me. Be careful what you think about, because your thoughts run your life. Your thoughts run your life. Today's English version says this: be careful what you think about, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. Here's what the King James Version says in Proverbs 23 and 7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, this verse right here teaches two important things that I want to come alongside you this morning and share with you. One of them is that our life is determined by what we think. If we think bad thoughts, we're going to have a bad life. Can I get just real practical with you this morning? If we think dumb thoughts, we're going to have a dumb life. But our thoughts, brothers and sisters, determine our life. What we think about, our thoughts control and they shape and they run our life. What I have learned is this: we don't exercise our choice in choosing what we think about as much as we should. Can I get an amen? We allow other people to filter through our minds. We allow media. We allow magazines. We allow the pop culture. We allow friends. We allow enemies. And may I even say, we allow Satan to filter through our mind. Can I get an amen? We need to think about what we think about. We need to think about what we think about. Many of the problems in our life come because we allow other people to put thoughts into our mind instead of choosing our own thoughts. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to get to heaven and say, "Pastor didn't tell me the importance of the word." I don't want you to be able to say that. This word has the ability to change your life. But you and I cannot, we are inundated with media today and social media and TV and all types of Hulu and Netflix and entertainment. And I'm not saying that any of that is wrong as long as it's done in moderation. But I do want to just come alongside of us and say, I do feel like that it's wrong when we're spending 5 and 6 hours in front of a source and we're not even spending 10 or 15 minutes in front of the book that can change our life. Can I get a witness in this house? This is very important. We need to think about what we think about. And just because we have an open mind doesn't mean that we need everybody else or the culture of this world stuffing their thoughts in our mind. Let's be more intentional. Look at your neighbor and tell them, be more intentional about what gets your attention. Be more intentional about what gets your attention. Our thoughts control our life. But we control our thoughts. And we need to take stronger control of our thought life. We're all worried about air pollution. We're all worried about climate change. You know, we're all worried about water pollution. But I'm going to tell you something. What the government and what the church needs to be concerned about is mind pollution. Instead of climate change, we need to be passing some things about mind change. Because your thoughts control your life. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Yes, I'm concerned about air pollution and water pollution. I want to drink good water. I want to breathe good air. But I'm more concerned about what we are thinking. Because as the days keep marching on, you guys, it's not going to be less and less of media and less of the culture. It's going to be more media and more of the culture. And can I just start preaching this morning that the way Hollywood thinks and the way the culture of this world thinks is not the way this Word of God thinks. It is really 180 degrees different. And if we take our cue from Hollywood, we're not taking our cue from the Word of God. We've got to be thinking about what God is thinking about. We've got to let the Word of God get into our mind and into our spirit so it starts changing us into His image. And we start thinking like He wants us to think. Oh, hallelujah. I have a witness in this house this morning. Would you agree with me that there is a lot of stuff out there that really shouldn't be in our mind? Yes, there is. And we need to choose not to listen to it. We need to choose not to look at it. We need to choose not to let it enter into our mind. If you're taking notes this morning, and by the way, these notes, some of them should be on our app. So if you'd like to follow me, you can do that on our app. I want you to write this down if you are taking notes this morning. I want you to write this down. I want you to write this question down. Here it is. Do I really want to think about this right now? Ever since I have come in contact with this question, I have been using it in my life. I wake up in the middle of the night. I will tell you that I'm a light sleeper, unfortunately. I'm a very light sleeper. I normally wake up probably around 3:30 every morning. And my mind starts running. My mind starts racing. Is there anybody else in here like that? Okay. And I start thinking about things. And now here's the question that I have begun to use. Do I really want to think about this right now? And I have to start telling my mind, do I really want to think about this right now? See, you have to learn to use this every day. We think about stuff all the time without stopping to ask this question. Do I really want to think about this right now? Why? Because it's a choice. We start to get worried. We should stop and say, do I really want to be worried at this time right now? Then we start to get fearful and we're thinking fearful thoughts. Ask yourself, do I really want to be fearful right now? Now, you may have a hard time buying in with what I'm about to say, okay? But just hear me out. Your thoughts control your feelings and your feelings control your actions. Your thoughts control your feelings control your actions. And so 9 times out of 10, if you don't mow the yard, it's because you don't feel like mowing the yard. If you don't wash your car, it's because you don't feel like washing your car. I don't feel like washing my car. Why? Because your thoughts determine your feelings determine your actions determine your response. Now, if you buy into that, then here's what starts happening. If you're starting to get depressed, it doesn't just happen that all of a sudden you wake up and you're depressed. Your thoughts start determining your feelings. And so now what you have to do is you have to rewind yourself and ask yourself, do I really want to be thinking these thoughts right now? Because if I'm thinking fearful thoughts, I'm going to become afraid. If I'm thinking worried thoughts, I'm going to become worried. If I'm thinking depressive thoughts, then I'm going to become depressed. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what blows my mind is that we try to control people. We try to control the stock market, the weather. We try to control circumstances. We try to control things that are way beyond our control, and yet we don't take control of the one thing we can, and that is our thoughts. We allow Hollywood to think for us. We allow an old authority figure to think for us. We allow this one or that one to think for us. And we want to control so many things that we can't control, and yet we don't control the one thing that we can. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your body, brothers and sisters, does not go where your mind hasn't gone first. You don't just wake up at Billy Navarre dealership and say, man, how did I even get here? Wow. You know why? If you show up at Billy Navarre, you've been thinking about buying a new car. You don't just walk in one day and go and buy a new car and your wife not know about it. We'll never see you again. You talk it out. You talk about it. What do we want? What are our needs? We're having a growing family. This car no longer works, but what will work? You know why? You're thinking about it. And then eventually you keep thinking about it. You're going to show up at a dealership. Because your body does not go where your mind hadn't gone first. I know what people mean when they say this. Well, he fell into sin. That pastor fell into sin, or that person fell into sin. It makes it sound like they just wasn't paying attention and boom, they just fell. Don't believe that for a minute. Their mind had already gone where eventually their body showed up. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to be very practical with you this morning, and hopefully I'm not going to be awkward. But listen, if you find yourself in another person's bedroom, it ain't because you just had one thought. You've been thinking about it. And guess what? You have the power of choice. The scripture tells us that we have to cast down every vain imagination. And that's why you got to ask yourself, do I really want to be thinking about this right now? Because if I keep thinking about this, see, seeds are thoughts. And you got to always be pulling weeds out and you got to be planting seeds because the weeds just grow. You don't have to miracle grow. You don't have to fertilize weeds. They're going to show up. In fact, you can put heavy poison on them and 3 months later they show back up. Are you with me? That's the way the mind works, brothers and sisters. Weeds naturally grow. Satan comes in and just plants stuff in your mind. You have to be intentional. I'm not thinking that thought. That thought will not get me where I want to be. If I continue to think on that thought, I'm going to harvest regret. If I continue to look at this, this is going to lead me down a path I don't want to go. And I'm here to preach to you the second most message, important message I feel like I can preach. And that is, we've got to be very intentional about what we think about. We don't have a lot of time. Am I making sense? Stop, brothers and sisters, thinking about what you don't want and start thinking about what you do want. You and I have enough against us. Every day we have things against us. Don't let your mind and your mouth work against you too. You do have control over that. You don't have control over what your boss says, the language that they use. You don't have control over the weather. You don't have control over the government. But you do have control over your mind and your mouth. Make it work for you. When you get up in the morning, declare, this is going to be a good day. God's going to put me at the right place at the right time. Declare, I am blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. Don't start thinking about what you can't do and what you don't have and what's not coming your way. Keep your mind and your mouth. Keep planting the seed of God's word and keep pulling the weeds of yesterday. I know somebody told me I wasn't good enough, but this word tells me I am good enough. I know that somebody told me I'd never make it, but this word tells me I can make it. Come on, give God 5 seconds of your best praise this morning. Look at your neighbor and tell them nobody's holding a gun to your head. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. Nobody's making you think those thoughts that some of you are thinking. We start to get discouraged. We have to ask ourselves, do I really want to think discouraging thoughts right now? Because it's my choice. A lot of times we act like we don't have a choice over our feelings or we don't have a choice over our thoughts, but we do. Because God made us in his image. And I'm begging you to start allowing this question to be a part of your life. Do I really want to think about this right now? When I wake up and I start thinking about things about the church, I'm asking myself, even at 3:30, do I really want to think about this right now? You know why? Because sleep is very important. It's very important that you get rest. Now, I know we don't talk about this a lot, but your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And science is saying that you need at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Because when you're only getting 4 or 5, you start getting cranky. You start getting irritable. You start getting a bad attitude. And a lot of times what's doing it is our mind is racing because we're allowing the enemy to wear us out. I didn't get a lot of amens, but that's okay. Because it's the enemy's good pleasure to wear you out and to wear you down and to frazzle you. And when your body becomes weakened, your spirit becomes weakened. And it's important that we rest well and that we eat well and that we exercise and that we be talking to our minds. I'm not thinking this, I'm thinking that. I'm not going to dwell on this, I'm going to dwell on that. Here's what Paul said, I think myself happy. Can I keep preaching? Most of us, ladies and gentlemen, are as happy as we choose to be. But we're looking at what we don't have instead of what we do have. Even if you're on welfare in America, you're still richer and more blessed than the majority of the world. This blows your mind. But 3 billion people will live off of less than $2.50 a day. We can't even fathom that. That can't even compute with our mind. But that's what they say. You are blessed, and yet we look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. And we allow our mind to stay fixated on that instead of allowing our mind to stay in the Word of God. Let's think about what we're thinking about. Because can I tell you something? It's not going to get any easier for us. The world's not going to back off. And to make it easier, we're going to have to keep our mind focused on the Word of God. We're going to have to hide that Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. So let me ask you a question. Why are you allowing other people to fill your mind with stuff that you really don't want to think about? If we don't like listening to something on the radio, what do? If we don't like something, a news commentator on the TV, what do? We push the remote. Now, here's what blows my mind. We're very good at changing the radio. In a heartbeat, we'll change. I don't like that song. We change it. We're very good at, I don't like him. I don't like her on the TV. You change it. You push the remote. You either change the channel or you turn it off. You do something else. But when it comes to us and the enemy, we allow the enemy to stay on our shoulder and just chatter. Just chatter. And it gets to be like this. Well, he didn't shake your hand. She didn't shake your hand. So she must not like you. And now all you can't even listen to what I'm saying because so-and-so didn't shake your hand. And now you're trying to figure out how come they didn't shake your hand. Really? Say, you know what? I choose not to think about that right now. I'm going to focus in on the man of God, the Word of God. I'm going to listen to this. Instead of listening to the lies of the enemy and trying to take 30 minutes to figure out why they didn't shake your hand, guess what? They're blind. They didn't even see you. Hey, don't think about things that are going to weigh you down. You have a choice. If you can turn the radio station, if you can turn off the TV, or you can switch the channel, you can do that in your mind. You have the power to control your thoughts. Am I helping anybody? So here's the first principle that I want to share with you, and that's this. We control our thoughts, and our thoughts control our life. We control our thoughts, and our thoughts control our life. Here's the second principle I want to share with you. Any change, say this with me, any change I want in my life, it must start in my mind. Any change I want to make, whether that's for the good or for the bad, guess where it's got to start? It's got to start in my mind. Are y'all with me? See, change starts in our mind. It doesn't start in our behavior. Now, if you've been asleep up until this point, this is a good time to wake up. You ready? Change starts in our mind, not in our circumstances. Change starts inside of us, not outside of us. We want everything to change outside of us, but it's got to start with inside of us. We want people around us to change, but we don't want to change. I've been in counseling sessions. I've made no bones about this. I've been very transparent with you. And the lady told me, Wayne, if you want things around you to change, it's first got to start in you. Nothing's going to change outside of you until something changes in you. Does that make sense? So many of the things that we have tried to change in life, we're trying to change our behavior. And that's the wrong place to start. Let me show you how this works real quick. See, we start trying to lose weight by dieting. And that's the wrong place to start. You don't start trying to lose weight by dieting. Because here's what happens. You'll eat salad for 3 days and say, I'm no rabbit, bun this. This is for the birds. You don't start by trying to change your behavior. Any change that you make, you don't start by trying to change your behavior. You change it on the inside. So here's how it works. If you want to lose weight, you're not going to lose weight until you get a big enough why. And it starts in the mind. Why do I want to lose weight? Do you know why so many people can lose weight after they go to the doctor? Because the doctor tells them, if you don't lose weight, you won't be here a year from now. Boom. Guess what just happened? They got a big enough reason because they thought about, guess what? I want to see my grandbabies grow up. And I want to be able to walk my daughter down the aisle and get married. So now they have a big enough why to lose weight. Don't try to change your behavior. Change your why. Change it in your mind and then your behavior begins to change. See, this is something, I'm going to bring something very practical in. And this is about money. See, as long as you think that money is there to make you happy, you'll spend it. Because you think that money's there to make you happy. And so you'll buy the purse that you don't need. You'll buy the vehicle that you can't afford. You'll get into some clothes that you really don't have to have because money makes me happy. Therefore, when I spend money, I'm happy. And that's why you don't have much. Because you're always spending it to make you happy. You have to change how you think about money and realize that money is given to empower me to make choices. It's not there to make me happy. Happiness, brothers and sisters, is an inside job. You can get a brand new Louis Vuitton and be happy with it for 3 months, and then it's an old bag again. You can be happy with a brand new Ford F-150 King Ranch, and guess what? After the new car smell leaves in about, 6 months, you're still going to be making that $800 a note payment. You're going to be like, God, how stupid was I? People ask me, I had pastors tell me, you need a new truck. I said, no, I don't. They said, yes, you do. You need a new truck. No, I don't. I'm not what I drive. I'm valuable not because I drive a nice truck. I'm not valuable, ladies and gentlemen, because I live in a nice home or wear Louis Vuitton or drive a foreign-made car. See, Hollywood's got it that you are what you drive and you are where you live and you are what you wear. And that is stinking thinking. Can I preach a minute? We need a checkup from the neck up. Can I preach it? I said we need a checkup from the neck up. We're thinking like Hollywood instead of thinking like this word. I'm valuable because Jesus went to the cross and gave his all for me so that I may have life. That's why I'm valuable. See, and you got to get this in your spirit because Hollywood says you're not valuable unless you drive this, live in that, go here and know these people. That's a bunch of malarkey, whatever that means. I don't even know what it means. That's baloney. But that's what Hollywood is putting down our throats and in our minds, and we're believing that garbage. And we're getting ourselves in debt to impress people we don't even like. And it's called ludicrous. I am not what I drive. I'm not where I live. I'm not what I wear. I am a child of God. If I came in here in a burlap sack, I'm a child of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And by the help and grace of God, I'm going to heaven. Is that all right? See, we don't start by changing our behavior. We start by changing the way we think. And that's where change starts. It all starts in our mind. And that's why God's word says in Romans 12:2. Here's another translation. Do not conform yourself to the standards of this world. Another translation. Do not conform yourself to the standards of this world. In other words, don't conform yourself to what the world thinks is important. Ladies and gentlemen, man, I need to preach here this morning. It's not what the world thinks is important. What the world thinks is important, and down here is what God thinks is important. What impresses man doesn't impress God. And what impresses God doesn't impress man. And so you have to decide, who am I going to impress? Am I going to impress the temporal or am I going to impress the eternal? Do I want to impress man or do I want to impress God? Am I living for an audience of 350 or am I living for an audience of one? If I'm living for an audience of one, then I need to understand what impresses him. I'm not concerned about what impresses this world. Oh, dear God, help me preach. This world is temporal, but heaven is eternal. And we have to decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to be conformed to this world? Or are we going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind? Are we going to be conformed and be like everybody else, think like everybody else, act like everybody else, just be a cookie cutter? Or are you going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by letting God renew your mind, by letting God change you on the inside, by you rethinking your life? It doesn't matter how old that you are, sweetheart. It really doesn't. You can start today to rethink your life. You say, why is that? Well, because a lot of the stuff we've been thinking is actually stinking thinking. It's stinking thinking. And we need to really ask ourselves, what are my values? Because if you don't have values, Hollywood will give you some, but they'll be the wrong ones. You say, Brother Neen, you're really on Hollywood. I don't have a reason. I'm not mad. I know Hollywood and the culture of this world is so diametrically opposed to God and His Word. And what's unfortunate is that the church is not changing the world. The world is changing the church. It just is. It just is. And I love all of you sweet people, but we got to stop. We got to stop some things and say, look, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're here, but we're not thinking like you think. Y'all stop being insecure about living a modest lifestyle. More than ever, we need the distinction between the sexes. It's okay to be modest in your lifestyle. It's okay for a man to look like a man and a woman to look like a woman. Google says we got 32 different genders now. How do they come up with that garbage? 32, the last time I checked, there was God made a male and female. Not shim and... I'm not going to get off on that because I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just here to tell you that the way God sees it and the way the world sees it is two different things. And you have to decide, what camp am I going to be in? Because here's the most miserable person in this room. I'm going to show you. 1 foot in and 1 foot out. One Sunday you're in and one Sunday you're out. You're miserable. And in fact, the Bible says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. But when you're in the middle, then I'll just spew you out because you're good for nothing. You got to make up in your mind, who am I going to let think for me? What am I going to let think for me? Is it going to be TV and media and the culture? Or am I going to let the Word of God dictate who I am and what I am and what I can do and what I can have? Come on, everybody, stand to your feet, would you please? And let's give God some praise in His house this morning. Just remain standing. Here's a beatitude that I read in the Word of God. It's in the Message paraphrase. And again, I'm using different translations just so you're not jaded by hearing the same thing. But in the Message translation of Matthew 5 and 8, I really like what it says. Here's what it says. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. It just blows my mind how we try to change people. We try to change our spouse. We try to change this one. We try to do that. We try to control this. When the only thing that you can really control is your mind and your thoughts and your own mouth. You really can't control anybody else. You may think you can. But brothers and sisters, when it really gets right down to it, you came this morning because you loved God and you wanted to be here. Amen. And if you didn't, you could have stayed home. We do what's in our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now I'm going to take the next 5 minutes and I'm going to share with you what I felt in the Holy Ghost. I felt in the Holy Ghost that the enemy is really coming to a number of you and just telling you, he's beating you up and telling you you're not enough. That what you did and where you've been and who you did it with and how long, that you're not enough. I'm going to just tell you in the Holy Ghost this morning, that is the wrong thought. That is a lie because the enemy wants to keep you in condemnation. He wants to keep you looking at your past, and he wants you to keep thinking, you know what, I'm not enough. Because as long as you think you're not enough, then you're never going to do what God wants you to do. Because you're now under shame and condemnation, and your head is bowed, and you can't even lift your head up or your hands up because you're under all of this shame and condemnation. And the Holy Spirit wants me to tell somebody here this morning that that is a lie. You say, well, Pastor, the Bible says that no man is good. No, no man is good in his own flesh. That is correct. But guess what? You're not just flesh. If you're born again, you got the Spirit of God in you. So you have God's Spirit, the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So yes, there's a lot of good in you because God is in you. Quit believing the lie that you're not enough and that you can't come out and you can't prosper and you can't be blessed. Those are thoughts that you should not be thinking when the Word of God says that I am blessed coming in and I am blessed going out, and that He wants me to be the head and not the tail, and He wants me to be the lender to other people and not the barrier. Have I made sense today? We got to think about what we're thinking about. Would you bow your heads? Father, I just thank you for this incredible group of people that I have the great privilege to stand before. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us today, that we would not just hear your word, but that we would be doers of your word. And there are people this morning, I know in a congregation this size, I don't have to have spiritual gifts. There are people here that are struggling this morning. Their thought life is bringing them down. And I pray, Lord, that you would give revelation in this house for everyone under the sound of my voice to understand that our thoughts control our life, but we control our thoughts. And God, help us that we would not think thoughts of depression and worry and bitterness and fear, but that we would think, as the scripture says, whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. I'm going to allow my mind and my mouth to work for me, not against me. Lord, I don't want to conform to the way the world says it. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I don't want to sit 3 hours and watch social media and only spend 3 minutes in the Word. I want to do things that are going to build me up, not tear me down. I pray, God, for this congregation and everyone under the sound of my voice today, Lord. Let them have revelation. Give us understanding of the power of our thought life. God, you said that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And there's people that are living right now. They're living in fear. They're afraid. They're so afraid. They're living, God, with depression, a mild grade of depression. That's not what you want. Father, help us now to turn to you and say, God, we can't do this by ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be open and to be honest and even willing to get someone in our life that will help us to be accountable, God, that we can truly open up and be honest with them and say, this is what I'm struggling with. For James tells us when we confess our faults one to another, then that's when we're healed. You forgive sins, but when we confess it, Lord, we are healed. Father, I pray today, let this word lodge in our spirit. Give us a change of heart and a change of mind.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.